You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. Nearly 13,000 women in the United States are diagnosed with cervical cancer every year, and more than 4,000 die from it. But cervical cancer can often be found early and sometimes prevented entirely by having a regular pap test. If detected early, cervical cancer is one of the most treatable cancers. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Dr. Megan Wallman. She is an OBGYN with St. Luke's. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So first question for you, there are risk factors that go along with cervical cancer, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So can you tell me like what those factors are?
The most important risk factor is going to be whether you have infection with human papillomavirus. We call it HPV. Other risk factors that are important is if you're a smoker, if you're overweight, if you have a weakened immune system, been exposed to certain STDs in the past, or if you have a family history of cervical cancer. Mm.
So talk to me about the human papillomavirus, or HPV as you called it, because we've heard a lot about it over the last couple of years, but give us an understanding of what it actually is.
HPV is a group of about 150 viruses. They're related, but they cause different things. They spread through skin-to-skin contact. When it comes to cervical cancer, it's going to be through intercourse. Hmm. Different types of HPV can cause warts on different parts of the body. These are typically called the low-risk types of HPV. These generally do not lead to any sort of cancer. Then there's the high-risk kinds. They can cause cancers in various parts of the body, the cervix, the vulva, the vagina. They can also cause genital cancers in men and cancers of the mouth and throat in both men and women.
And there is a vaccine for it.
Correct.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about this, because really this is why HPV has really been in the news, is because the vaccine came out and it's who was it recommended for? So let's start with the vaccine itself.
So the vaccine itself has been around a long time. Over the years, they've been adding how many strains of the virus are covered in the vaccine. Right now, we're up to 9 strains covered in the vaccine of high risk types of HPV. Originally, it was recommended up until you were 26 years old, and they started with females since they were trying to prevent cervical cancer. And now we realize that vaccinating both boys and girls around 11 to 12 years old is the best way to prevent any of these problems in both men and women.
And how common is HPV?
HPV is very common, and I think that's something that's a surprise to a lot of people. There's about 79 million people that have been infected with HPV. And then there's about, I think it's about 13,000 new cases a year. And so it's very common. Most sexually active adults have been exposed to HPV at one point in their lives.
So is the reason why they were looking at like getting this vaccine at like 11 to 12 years old? Because typically they are not sexually active at this point.
Correct. There's two reasons we like to vaccinate that young. One is typically you're not sexually active then, and also your immune system responds better. And so for our young women, usually it's 3 doses of the vaccine, but for these before 15 years old, we only give you 2 doses because you have a better immune response.
So it is really looking at that to maybe get your child, because if you're vaccinated at 11 to 12 years old with this, have you been able to see if the rates of certain cancers have gone down in younger people, or do we have that information yet?
We do have that information. HPV vaccination decreases the risk of all HPV-associated cancers.
So it is so worth getting
it
that.
It is. And it's incredibly safe. There's no major side effects that have been reported. All vaccinations can cause a little low-grade fever, some pain at the injection site, but we keep databases of side effects of medications and vaccines, and we have not seen any side effects from that adverse events.
I'm speaking with Dr. Megan Wallman. She is an OBGYN with St. Luke's. We're talking about cervical health awareness, and one of the things is HPV and how that plays into it. But let's kind of go back to cervical cancer itself and how you screen for cervical cancer.
So the screening test is a pap test or a pap smear. That's going to take a sampling of cells from the cervix. Again, it's screening. And so some women need more testing if their pap smears are normal. The other thing we do that's new, well, relatively new, is we're able to test for HPV along with that pap smear. And so combining those two results really gives us an idea of your risk of having cervical cancer in the future.
And what's changed, though, with the screening process? Because as I was coming up, you know, it was that you get your pap smear every year.
Yes. And often starting from the start of your period.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And so our guidelines have definitely changed. And a lot of that's learning about how young women clear HPV, meaning, you know, the infection goes away. The younger you are, the more likely your body is to heal itself. And so the guidelines have changed over the years. We now start pap smears around the age of 21. Certain women, certain groups of people don't fall into these screening guidelines and need earlier screening, but the majority of women start at 21. And then depending on your age, most women don't need a yearly pap smear anymore.
That is so weird to hear. I mean, do you get that reaction from a lot of women?
Every day.
Okay.
It is hard to change something that we've really been told to do, you know, since puberty. And it's hard for a lot of women to accept that and not be so worried about their risk. But it's a decision that you and your doctor, your healthcare provider, should make together. It's hard to change. But again, with that reassurance, with the negative HPV, you've always had normal pap smears, stable relationship, you know, same sexual partner, your risk is so low. But you still need a yearly breast and pelvic exam. So it's not like I'm saying, if you don't need a pap smear for 3 years, I don't want to see you for 3 years. I still want to see you every year and do look at your cervix, make sure there's nothing concerning. And then in between those yearly visits, if you have any weird symptoms, weird pain, weird bleeding, we want to see you for that too, and make sure that nothing has changed.
So that's the key point, I think, right there, the takeaway, is that it's not the scraping of the cervix, which is the actual pap smear, but you still need to come in every year.
Yes. And so a lot of women associate any pelvic exam that they have with that it is a pap test. The pap smear is really just this little scraping that is not done every time someone looks at your cervix. And so it's important to know when your last one was done, if your healthcare provider did it with your last exam, and then you guys can come to kind of a shared decision about how often you need it and what your risk is.
So let's talk a little bit about the signs and the symptoms of cervical cancer, because they're frankly hard to detect.
Well, we think it takes many, many years to go from an abnormal pap smear to cervical cancer. And so with, you know, you can have pain, you can have bleeding, bleeding after intercourse. The majority of the time, those symptoms do not mean cervical cancer, but it's important to rule it out if you're having them. But there's always going to be the rare case where you had normal pap smears and something changed quickly, but that's very uncommon.
So if there are certain things like, you know, abnormal bleeding, things like that, get it checked.
Exactly.
But if you're following the protocol, you should be, I don't want to say okay, but that's, but hopefully you should be able to catch something.
Following the protocol, it's very reassuring that you do not have cervical cancer. It may be something else, but you just always have to get it checked out.
And one of the things I said in the introduction was that if it is caught, it is one of the most treatable cancers. Is that the case, though, if it's caught early versus if it is caught later?
Correct. And so a lot of times what they're talking about is treating those abnormal pap tests before they ever become cancer, is in a very early cervical cancer, very, you know, easier to treat than ignoring something for years and years. I mean, that goes for almost any cancer, but treating an abnormal pap smear is very easy compared to the hysterectomy required for true cervical cancer.
So just want to reiterate this for people who may be listening, women in particular, it is about getting that pap smear, but coming up with that decision with your healthcare provider.
Correct.
Is it once a year, 3 years, wherever that would fit in to your health guidelines. Mm-hmm.
And then also something that has changed is that in October of 2008, the FDA changed the safety regulations on the HPV vaccination. Prior to that, they said it was only safe up until age 26. Mm-hmm. But now they've looked and said it's safe and can be effective up until 45, 46.
Really?
Yeah. Now, not everyone needs that.
Okay.
But there may be, and your insurance may not cover it, which is important. But we found that it may actually be helpful for certain groups of women who maybe have a new partner, they're looking at a new relationship, maybe they've never been sexually active, and they may start. There are reasons that you may be a candidate for vaccination outside of that 9 to 26 that we've always talked about. And so it's not a reason for everyone out there over 26 to get vaccinated, but it's a conversation to have if you're worried that you may be newly exposed to HPV.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so once again, just have the conversation with your healthcare provider.
Just talk about it.
Yeah, just talk about it, right? That's the biggest thing. I want to thank you for coming in today. I know this can be an uncomfortable situation for people to talk about and listen, but I think it's necessary to talk about these things.
And remember, it's all your gynecologist talks about all day long.
Right?
So it's not awkward to us.
You're like, come on, this is easy.
Hard to surprise us.
Right, absolutely. My guest today, Dr. Megan Wallman, an OBGYN with St. Luke's. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.